All right. Welcome to the Patreon Q&A, GHPC Patron Q&A for June 2023. It is almost July. We had a bit of scheduling conflict. I was busier this month than usual, and we couldn't do the original times. So, here we are. Better late than never. And you guys know the drill. You request to speak in Discord. We take the questions in the order that they come up, say whatever you want within reason, and then whoever missed the session will get a recording on Patreon. First up, we have Arcfire Fox.
Hello, hello. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good.
Doing good. Still exhausted, but doing good.
Cool.
All right. Yeah, with Gunner Heat PC, I love the idea that it's important that we feel a part of a much bigger battle and an even bigger war. So, do you have any plans for any static or animated visual world events we could one day see, such as helicopter flyovers, smoke and massive fires in the distance, to even aircraft contrails high in the sky, or even seeing them dogfighting along the treetops?
We've had ideas about all of those things, but it's not confirmed if they will be in. The one that I think is very likely is the distant smoke. I think we've got some assets made already for that. It's just, it has yet to be implemented, but we will see.
Excellent. All right, so yeah, as we hit each new milestone, will you be adding these various milestones to the campaign, or are you going to wait until everything's more done before you then mold everything into the new dynamic campaign at the end?
It might be a bit of both. Sometimes we put stuff in as soon as we can, sometimes it takes a while. Like, there's no BTRs in the campaign yet, because it is as simple as just adding them to a kind of a list of vehicles that are available, but the missions were made before the BTR existed, and a lot of them are balanced for BMPs and BRDMs. So we have to go back and sanity check everything, make sure that it's not going to break in weird ways, and we just haven't found the time for that. Stuff like that. Sometimes there's extra considerations before something can be added to the campaign, and if we don't have the time to give it the due diligence, then it doesn't happen.
Sanity check is good.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
All right. Now, with air support being added in, or getting closer to being fully added in, will they have working flares at all? I think it would be rather fun to see them fire them off, all their countermeasures, as they dive in for an attack and turn off from an engagement.
It is something we've thought about. I think I asked NOOP to put aircraft flares on the list of things to
you
work
did.
On. Yeah. So it's not likely that they will do anything, but we are planning to make them. So yeah, it's likely that you'll see that.
I mean, do anything at release, I would say.
Well, it depends if we ever have heat seekers, like ground stinger troops or whatever. If we were to add that, then yeah, the flares would be, they would have mechanics associated. But I would imagine what you'll see at first, and maybe for good, is just like a visual thing. Deploying flares for some flare.
Don't feel good about that. Don't laugh at that.
I feel pretty good about that. I feel pretty good about
yeah.
it.
Terrible.
Your reaction makes it all worth it.
You like my pain?
Yep.
Because here at Radiant Simulations, we enjoy sadness.
Why do you think we all join the Patreon?
Oh, mm-hmm. boy.
Alright, well, so I'll offer one more question, then I'll pass it off to the next person.
Sure.
Alright, so in addition to aircraft hunting for targets of opportunity, you think you possibly add the ability for them to alert command or even us players to any additional danger they may find? For example, a general location of troop movement or a new threat that's been discovered? Or is that just going to be specifically for recon units?
You know, that's an interesting thing. I don't know if the CAS planes specifically will do spotting reports, because they've mostly been called in when there's actually a known threat already. they keep track of where you clicked on the map now. I don't know if I mentioned in the stream, actually, they prioritize targets based on the type and also how close it is to where you called them, so like that's probably what you wanted them to attack. But anyway, there are other planes that are not cast planes that we are experimenting with. It's possible that there will be dedicated observation planes. I can't promise it, but I've seen some work done on some early testing of it.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I will pass it off to the next person.
All right, thank you. Next up is Toby Silverstone.
Hello, lads. Obviously the usual, awesome update, loving it. We are now at the end, or effectively, as far as from our players' point of view, it looks like we're at the end of one development stage, moving on to the next, which is infantry. Mm-hmm. As such, my questions relate to that. First one, and probably the one that you've already talked about, even in the development map, but I just wanted a bit more detail. You talk about the basic garrison, obviously your buildings. Now, a couple of months ago, I think I asked about this and you weren't sure. Do you have any more details on how that's going to work, especially in terms of like how the damage model is going to handle shots at infantry while they're in buildings?
We don't have any specific details. If infantry are garrisoning buildings, it's very likely that they will still physically exist in a place and you'll have to shoot them. It's not like you'll shoot the building and then they'll just damage all the infantry randomly or something, but I don't know what the visuals of that will be. Like, will you be able to see interior walls and different rooms? Will there be any kind of clutter or whatever? I don't know. It depends what the art team is able to cook up. We'll have to redo buildings before garrisoning is possible, most likely, just to support, like, people showing up in windows and that kind of thing. And so that's going to depend on how that goes.
Okay, cool. And then obviously, again, another infantry related question. Infantry are obviously going to be using ATGMs and just general purpose, anti-tank rocket or equipment on player vehicles and, allied vehicles. Are they likely to be using small arms on lighter targets and the crewmen when they've got their heads above the parapets of the vehicles?
I think it's likely. I know that infantry will have small arms by default and they'll be able to engage each other. If we add the visible crew, or not if, when we add the visible crew, I would imagine we'll add a ability for infantry to notice that the commander is unbuttoned or whoever is unbuttoned and take pot shots. That does seem likely.
Cool. And then one completely unrelated question. A number of, and this is probably just a case of technology, plus time doesn't allow, but a number of textures on the map, I couldn't tell you the exact map, I'd have to go back and have a look, but a number of textures on the map appear to be, but they are very noticeably the same texture for, 200 meters, 100 meters, whatever it is, replicated at time after time, but because of the way they're laid, they're very, very noticeable. Is there going to be some sort of like a map texture parsh at some point soon, or is that something that's basically like, it's done, it's in, it works, we just need to make it prettier, 6 months, a year down the line?
So there's actually an anti-texture tiling system, and it works pretty well most of the time. You're not going to see regular grid patterns. Sometimes you'll notice patterns anyway, because that's just the nature of random. It's occasionally going to line up. I don't think that's a specific concern that we have. Stuff that changes on the terrain is more like if our environment guy comes up with a new idea and we like it, we put it in. Otherwise, there's no specific goal in mind for that.
Cool. All right. Well, I've got plenty more questions, but I'll turn over to someone else. Have a good evening. If I don't talk to you again, awesome game.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. No questions. We can just riff.
So what's the deal with airplane food? No.
Okay. We're done riffing.
Yep.
Dun, 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 dun. Damn it. Oh boy, what was the most fun you had this patch cycle?
the most fun, like, a development thing?
Yeah.
Probably getting the cast to work. Every new piece of that puzzle that fell into place, like the targeting, the multiple bomb strings, hardpoint system, that flight path thing, like, all of that was fun. I wish we didn't accidentally make the bombs eat up all the CPU when they blow up, but we'll fix that in the next couple days.
Yeah. But it was something cool we did this time around was we initially had a like time for, okay, we're gonna do a stream and, you know, here's our thing, but then we felt weird about what were we going to release, like what were we going to show off. Things just, you know, weren't in the right place. So we decided to push that back, and with that we decided to have a cutoff of our feature work and just say, alright, like, cut off, everything goes in on this day, if you're not ready, whatever. And then we handed that off to patrons, or some patrons of cast tier, I think, and just said, look, break the game, here's the update. Like, yep. Let us know what's wrong. And that gave us so much additional time just to polish things off. I know some things got through, obviously, but I look forward to doing that again.
Yeah, I think we'll do that every time. It was a much better pace. Previous patches, a lot of times we were working up to the last minute and trying to throw stuff in, and then there's, you just kind of don't know if it's ready. You kind of wait when the update comes out, and it's like, okay, how many bugs are there going to be? Are people going to think it was rushed because it was rushed, you know? This is much nicer when we plan to stop making big changes a week ahead of time and then just fix things. Yeah. We probably should have been doing it the whole time, but, you know, it's not like we're a big studio with established processes and whatever to draw on. We're just kind of figuring it out as we go.
We don't have managers to basically say, guys, you should stop doing this.
And thank God. Can
we
you
have
imagine
Harry.
Can you imagine how much money would be siphoned out if we had managers?
Yep. We'd have lunch and learns and a bunch of other bullshit.
If we ever get to the point where we have, like, a middle manager class in the company, that I'll consider that both a success and a failure. Like, a success that we have the resources for it, and a failure that we've lost sight of what actually matters.
Sounds about right. The other thing that did was it allowed us to... We didn't do as much of that, ooh, I want to add this, I want to do this late ad here, I want to do the X, Y, and Z, because then that would have added to us, okay, let me make a new build for other people to test and blah, blah, blah. It really just kind of gave us, even as developers, a week to stop being so like, oh, I gotta rush and do everything.
Oh, yeah, I was much less stressed this patch than previous ones, because... It wasn't coasting, but it was way less intense. Like, oh, okay, here's the list of bugs. I'll just have a normal development day, and then, okay, there we go.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get Arc Firefox back on here real quick, and then I think we got Nick after that.
Hello. Hey. Yes, I have more questions. I have a whole Google document of questions.
Oh, boy.
Do it up.
All right.
Limit it to at least 100.
No,
I'll try.
Give us like two, and then let's let the next person go.
Yeah.
See, that way I can be good cop, and he can be bad cop.
Alrighty, all right, what's up? As we flesh out, or well, I guess as you flesh out the air support system, I don't think we're really doing too much there. But yeah, as you flesh out the air support system, is it going to remain a simple click here on the map, relying somewhat on the player accuracy, or will any of the aircraft remain in the area to engage multiple targets, only leaving when they run out of ordnance or are severely threatened, or even get bored?
So that is an interesting question. I had the same question myself when I was developing the system. It technically supports loitering and multiple passes. I didn't do this, but I thought about giving a mixed loadout of bombs and rockets for the MiGs, because that was one of their standard loadouts. And then they would be able to choose one per pass and make multiple passes. That's totally technically doable right now. We don't know if that's doctrinally sound, though, because the thing about a cast mission like this, it's pretty high risk. Most of these mechanized forces would have embedded anti-aircraft, and just coming in for one attack run is it's taking on a lot of danger as a pilot. So the thing that ended up deciding it was I didn't want to make them just lean into their role as unkillable gods of the sky and just sit there taunting you like, yeah, that's right, I'm coming back for another pass, you peon. Like, it's, I don't know, it doesn't fit the thing we're trying to depict. That's like a counterinsurgency pill, like, you know, asymmetrical warfare kind of deal. You're not going to see that in a Cold War battlefield. I could be wrong. Like, I'm not a history expert, but I don't think they would be loitering. Yeah, someone in chat said one pass haul ass. That's what I guessed was the case. So I don't know if we'll ever see multiple passes. It's not a technical fault stopping us. It's a doctrine question.
And we mostly depict everything off of their doctrine, like the ideal of what they would do, right?
We try. The big one that's missing is pact mission composition, because it requires a lot of vehicles, and the game doesn't like a lot of vehicles yet, but that'll be revised when we get there.
Yet is the key point there.
Yeah.
And I love that, because I love that you guys are sticking to like what they would do doctrinally. It really makes the game stand out.
Yeah,
all right.
Seems to be working.
For the second question, so how many different models of aircraft are you hoping to have in the game? I myself am hoping to see aircraft like the A-10, Su-25, MiG-29, things like that.
Well, we have teased the A-10 before in patron stuff, so you know that's coming. As for the others, we've got some stuff being made. I'm not going to give too many details, but I've seen things in the art channels, and yeah, it'll be fun to see what shows up.
You've seen some shit?
I've seen some shit.
Yeah. You've been around the block.
Uh-huh. A few times I've been around that track.
We do give away spoilers. Not spoilers, teases, and uh-huh. stuff that people, you know, in live streams don't necessarily get. So we'll see what we want to show off this time around.
Yeah, it's always an interesting question of what to show off, because it's very easy to show like a model screenshot as a teaser, but the art people don't like us showing stuff way earlier than when it gets added. So it's kind of a balancing act. Like, I don't want to give up everything and then you're waiting 8 months and it hasn't shown up, you know what I mean? We'll see.
When did we do that, Josh?
When indeed, Bradley. I think that was like 2 years since it was first teased or something.
Yeah. Oh man. We were given.
Yeah, we just ended up doing other stuff the whole time. I don't know. Stop showing T-64s, or else one shut up. You know, T-64 is a nice one. Have we? Well, the model is in the game, so we don't even need to tease it. I could show B. Nah.
It's still early. We can decide. Well, you can decide. You have the images.
I do have the images. Unfortunately, Harry can't stop me if I do decide to post something.
He should have been here, shouldn't he?
Well, in any case, I think it is time for Nick.
Thanks for the questions, Arcfire Fox.
Hi, guys. Thanks for your work.
Hey, thanks.
I have some questions relating to the long-term vision, so I hope that those questions haven't been asked before. So my first question is related to the sense of progression that a player gets. Obviously, most games have some sort of progression, rank system, experience, money, cosmetics, whatever. Is there anything planned in that direction for this game?
There are a couple of things that might count as progression. Some things are still being designed, but one thing that I can say is the campaign will have a couple of elements that serve as progression. Some mild crew-related stuff is likely. Not like, oh, they unlock magical skills, like War Thunder kind of thing, but like small cosmetic stuff. Vehicles are likely to change as you go through time during the campaign, like things releasing into the theater that weren't there at the start. And then as far as overall progress as you play the game, I imagine we'll see achievements, although I don't know when. And then there are some ideas about rank and qualification per vehicle, like to show your expertise. But I don't want to give any promises about that because I don't know for sure the extent of it yet. We are thinking about it. It is something that we have in mind because we know that even if you have a game where you don't want to have anti-consumer stuff, research grind and all that, you still have to have something for people to work toward. So we are aware of that and we're still making some plans.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, sounds nice. Second question, I've been wondering how are you going to deal with technical debt? I'm assuming there will be more content in the future, there will be more features. How will you deal with the fact that there's, at some point, there's just the work to be done gets bigger and bigger? Will we see a second edition of the game at some point, or?
Well, so we do that in kind of phases whenever we feel a strong need for it. Like next month, I'm doing refactoring and optimization on some of the older code portions. I don't think we'll see anything as drastic as a second edition of the game or anything like that. I mean, we're in early access for a reason. This it's just part of the process, right? It's iterative. We make improvements in stages as we go. So there are some months where we do a lot of reworking of older flawed systems, and there are some months where we focus on new things. That's just going to continue happening in cycles until we consider the game done. And even then, as we're going through the DLC phase, we'll probably still make improvements as we arrive at them. So, yeah, it'll just be an ongoing process.
As for me, I'm in, I think, the second month now of working through third-party assets for an engine upgrade that we're trying to do. That's going to give us a smattering of performance increases, but it's also going to make it so we can keep working on the game longer. And there's a saying in engineering, make it work, make it right, make it fast. And for a lot of the features that we can get down, we try to aim towards the make it right area of that. But we know that there's a lot of spots in the game currently that need to be changed up to make it fast. So we do it as we can. We're a four-man shop with a few contractors helping us, and yeah, work on it as the time allows.
Okay, yeah, interesting. Thanks for the answers.
Yep, no problem.
Thanks for the questions.
All right, next up we have DP Abrams.
Greetings.
Hey.
As you wind down implementation of fire support, will there be... You already talked about smoke missions, artillery delivered in the previous stream, but what about cluster munitions and and cluster munitions and cluster bombs?
So the code currently has carve-outs for DPICM and things like that. It's not fully implemented yet, and I would want to get through the optimization pass on munitions, especially, before I start pulling that in. The more stuff is going on, the more explosions there are, the more projectiles, the more the game tends to chug, and it also slams a lot of data into the after action replay or like tracking file. So yeah, there's some issues that I'd like to iron out before I go full on like cluster artillery and that sort of thing. It is something that we have in mind. It could happen in the future, but yeah, I'm not sure when.
Roger that. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Next up is Fleetwood Fisher.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, not much.
Howdy.
So I got two questions. One's quick. Might have been asked before. I don't know, because I miss a lot of these because I'm busy. I'm just an idiot. My first question has to do with maps, because for me, I'm really an aesthetic kind of guy. When it comes to the maps, I'm assuming y'all are going to make more, obviously, at some point down the line, but will we see more character in the maps? Things like trenches, shell craters, bombed out villages, burnt out woods, things like that? Because I feel like that could really change the way people maneuver through the map and play the system, not the system, you know, the game.
It's not out of the question, but some of that stuff, it feels like a late stage polishing kind of task, and we're still in the earlier mid stage. So most of our environment related tasks are like switching up the tech stack or making really core rendering improvements. I don't think we'll be looking at small detail stuff like that until later on.
Sure, no, I figured. I just wanted to know if that was thought about at any point.
I mean, a rule of thumb is that we think about basically everything. it's hard to give yes or no answers for most of it. Or, you know, we don't want to say, we'll have like some trenches and stuff, and then 2 years from now it never happened, and now we just make it up, you know? So I really have to give an I don't know answer if you want to like specific.
No, that's a good answer. So I was just wondering about that. Fair enough. Second answer, I'm sure people have talked about it, but like I said, I don't know because I'm nukes.
We have had some discussions about nukes. Our current official answer is no, but there are some caveats to that, in that it is an aspect of the Cold War gone hot scenario. It is a very interesting thing. It's certainly going to stay in mind as we move forward. That's all I can say.
Cool. That works for me. Appreciate it.
Yep. No problem.
Thank you.
Next up is Toby Silverstone again.
Hey, lads. So, came up with a couple more questions based on a few things people have talked about already in your responses. First one, I did ask this in the on the live stream earlier, but I don't know if one of you didn't see it or what, but the campaign, how long do you estimate the base campaign will last? And I don't mean in terms of like player hours, I mean like in terms of the in-game time. Are we talking like a couple of weeks? Is it meant to be a month? Is it a year? Is it multiple years? Like, what's your current view of how long that campaign is?
There is no way to say at this point.
Yeah, we've played around with design ideas of a battle could be X amount of time, or when a battle happens, then these other kinds of events can happen and can adjust the campaign field or make the player be more on their toes. But it's still very high level, and you know, we're focused on, like Josh noted, we're going to be focusing on more optimization of stuff because we're adding so much other more detailed pieces to for like West Germans, Soviets to get in, etc.
Yeah, basically the timeline stuff, it can be whatever we set it to. We can say that every mission that you play represents like real time. We can do like a day cycle. We could do time dilation where it's accelerated and it actually ends up taking weeks or months. We don't really know what we want to go for until we get into that actually as the main push, like working on campaign things first and foremost.
So what you're saying is effectively the campaign right now is literally just a tech demo, like a vertical slice sort of thing.
Yeah, like, well, currently the campaign is just a random mission serving mechanism. It's not even
I should apologize, that was a badly worded question or badly worded point. You know, I'm going to struggle to come up with the point I was actually trying to make, so I'll just move on to my next question.
Let me say, I think what maybe you were going for is right now the campaign is like a design phase. It's not actually fully fleshed out. I don't know. That's what I got from it.
Same.
Yeah, that's probably closer to what I was thinking. Thank you for that.
Yep.
And then I'll just say, so second question, again, this is coming up in at least the types chat. With, and again, this is probably like a very late stage thing. What's your views on stuff like vehicles becoming more battered and worn visually as the sort of campaign goes on.
It's a cool idea. I don't know if we'll do it or not. It's one of those things where we can sit there all day and say, yeah, that'd be awesome, but like, I would not like to promise it.
Okay. And then my final question, I've gone on it. That's embarrassing. I'll ask you if I come out of it. Have a go.
Alright.
Oh, good.
Thank you. Next up is Joe the Pirate. What's up, matey?
Howdy. Arg, as they say. So, couple questions. First one is, I think it was like the last Q&A, you guys were talking about the little diamond that shows up in the compass where like the commander has spotted something, and how that's a way to manage giving the player information that an AI couldn't accurately convey. So sort of in that vein, like, how do you plan on managing damage to the vehicle and conveying that to the player? Because, like, okay, if somebody puts a heat round through my primary sight, I know that's happened, but other stuff, like, you might not necessarily be able to visually see. So is that planned to be, like, a voice line thing, or keep the red text?
It might be both. So right now we have voice lines recorded for several things, like losing the engine or the tracks. They're just not implemented because we keep changing the way the voice controller works, and it wouldn't make sense to put new lines in when we're just going to have to redo how they're triggered in the first place. Some of the voice bugs that show up and then disappear over time are related to that system constantly changing as we introduce like new doctrines and have new needs of controlling it. But anyway, there are new voice lines coming, but voice lines aren't everything, and some people mute them. Like, you could theoretically turn off voices and subtitles and just never have the crew talk to you in the game. So we have to also have HUD elements. The red text is probably going to stay. It might change design at some point if we, when we do our UI pass, we decide we have like symbology that we want to put in or something. But there will still be a visual conveyance of damage. One idea that we had, I'm not sure if we'll do, is to have the damage be kind of a mystery until there's some way of noticing it. Like, the next time you try to drive, or if you have to do like an assessment to notice that somebody's hit or whatever, but I don't know if that'll be the case or not. That's like, that gets into kind of small details and polished stuff that sounds like a later phase issue.
Yeah, and I think that was sort of the thing that I was interested about, because like, if you're buttoned up and somebody shoots your track, you don't know that. Like, you hear a noise, but you know, like you said, it wouldn't be until you try to drive you would figure out something's not right there.
Right.
And then sort of a second unrelated question, and this is not necessarily related to the current theater, and I know you guys are no prototypes, but what about vehicles like kind of leaning into the alternate history that were basically on the cusp of adoption? I'm basically talking about the M8 AGS. Like, is that a possibility at all for things that, you know, their production run got cut short because of the end of the Cold War or something like that, or just still stick to what was major combatants?
Go ahead.
Well, even if we could stretch the truth a little bit and say, yeah, this particular vehicle is going to be included because of XYZ historical reasoning, we just really don't have the detail or the information to kind of build it in such a way that it would make sense. Like, we go off of the majority of real information for a lot of the things that we put in, and things like prototypes or experimental vehicles are just kind of like, oh, this might have been cool, they might have been done this way, and it's just, it doesn't really give us a lot of latitude to say, hey, this experimental thing is going to fit into our realistic game.
I mean, Kavi hit it on the head. We need real information about how they were used and how they fit into doctrine. It's hard to do for a thing that got canceled.
I gotcha. And I guess the only reason that I was thinking of the M8 is I think it shows up in, like, one of the field manuals of, like, 2003 or something. And I was like, oh, that's neat. But I totally get sticking to only major combatants.
Yeah, that's pretty much a rule. Like, the most we would do is fudge a timeline a little bit for something that did come into service. Like, for example, the T-72M1 shows up in GHPC a little earlier than it did in real life. I think it was the late 80s by the time the East Germans took delivery of the improved one. Most of the T-72s that they had were just the basic T-72M. But there's very little difference between them. It's not a major discrepancy, and it gives you that little tiny extra bit of survivability when you're facing the massively overpowered NATO forces. So, yeah, I mean, we can do stuff like that if we decide to, but as a rule of thumb, it's always going to be whatever happened in the real theater that we're depicting.
Yeah, and I think even accelerating the T-72M1 would, like, make sense with the alternate history aspect that there's a war on, you're going to ship those to the actual front line.
Yeah.
Alright, that's all I got for the time being. Appreciate it.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
No problem.
Next I should have said a pirate thing, like yo-ho matey or some bullshit. Damn it.
What's up, Fleetfoot?
Hey, I'm back. My cousin got mad at me because I didn't ask his question.
Fair. Why did you not ask his question?
Deserved.
Because it has to do with multiplayer, and multiplayer is like on the last thing of your roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. At least you brought up the roadmap, so go ahead and ask it.
He knows that y'all are planning, like, you know, you could play as you yourself control the whole tank, or you can have roles, like, I could be a driver, gunner, blah, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wants to know, with that in mind, you could have up to 3, possibly 4 people in a tank, multiple tanks in a multiplayer session. He wants to know how big the servers would be, and if the servers would be fleshed out with bots.
I don't know if we can give a specific number on the size. The multiplayer testing is still too early to know, like, the rate limits that we're dealing with and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I can say that there will be bots. You're not going to be in a situation where the game is dead because you can't populate a mission. It's going to be... from the beginning, our design philosophy was that when a player jumps into a mission, they are taking possession of a person that would have been an AI otherwise. So the mission's going to proceed regardless of how many players there are.
Yeah, that's more or less what I told him. I told him it's the last thing on the map, but whatever. And again, when we're on the topic, I have a sort of question for multiplayer. Game modes, are we going to be looking something like TDM or possibly objective based, like maybe War Thunder just kind of hold and take objectives, or maybe something a bit more fleshed out in the objective arena? Could you give me any info on that?
It's more or less going to follow the same pattern as the single player missions, where there's a thing that you're trying to do, whether it's to survive an attack or capture a town or whatever. It's not going to be, as far as I'm aware, it's not going to be a highly gamified kind of, you know, park on flag A, then park on flag B, and, like, you know, it's not going to be your traditional design pattern of arena TDM or whatever. It's going to be a objective-focused set of missions, and the objectives will be different for different missions.
So it will be objective-based, it just won't be flag A, B, and C. It'll be do this, do that, survive.
Yeah, and it's possible that some of the missions will end up playing like flag A, B, and C because there'll be multiple objectives or phase lines or whatever, but it's not going to be like the way the game is as a rule. That's just going to be one option.
Cool. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Next up is Arc Firefox.
There we go. Hello.
Hey.
Yo.
Alrighty. Once infantry is added, are they going to be able to occupy any buildings, or are they going to just initially be outside only?
I'm guessing they will initially be outside only, because the building garrison feature would probably require an art pass on the buildings to make them have windows and things, and that is not on the cards yet.
Alright. I see. Now, as campaigns become more complex, would it be possible to give bad intel during recon missions? Or would just information be considered incomplete if your unit got destroyed?
So there is a plan to have incomplete and possibly flawed intel. Like, you know, in the briefings right now for campaign missions, you get, like, your scouts were forced back before they could get an accurate estimate or whatever. You get the little variations in flavor text. That's like a tease at what we're going to do for the actual campaign. And there will be some kind of, I want to say like currency, but it, you know, like you'll be able to allocate resources to whatever you choose to give yourself an advantage in one area or another. One of the areas that you'll be able to focus on is intel. So you can use whatever sway you've built up as rewards for past missions to try to get a better look at what your upcoming missions are going to be, or influence them in some way, and the intel system is going to be part of that.
You'll collect platinum panthers to then spend on different parts of etc.
I was helping use my coffee coins. I have a whole collection now.
Yep, I'm going to spend some bronze budgies on this next intel.
All right, well, that's all I got, and that's all the questions I had, so I shall pass it along.
All right.
Thank you.
I almost can't believe it. The end of the questions. No. We have about 10 minutes left, so if anybody's got some more stuff they want to ask, jump in. But I am happy to riff in the meantime.
All right. Let's do it. Give me a question.
All right. If you could have a bird that could talk, what would you try to train it to say in front of people?
Oh, God. Give me money.
There we go. That's a good one.
More than likely, they will find it cute enough to actually give him money.
I don't know about that. I wouldn't give your bird money.
Well, yeah, because I just pulled you. I just let you in on the whole gag. But if he's doing that in like a random person, you gotta work the crowd a little bit with this, you know.
It's probably a numbers game. One in so many will fall for it.
Oh yeah, and I'll get like $10.
Oh yeah.
If it doesn't work, I'll eat the bird. Like, I got
okay. Jeez. That. I was willing to excuse the money thing, but anyway. Joe the Pirate is up next.
Ahoy, matey.
Ahoy, I've come to put a stop to the bird riffing, apparently.
Thank you.
Just question on, like, some of the small detail realism kind of things. So, like, the M60 doesn't have auto ejection for the shells, and I guess you have to every so often toss them out of the turret. Are you guys thinking of that as a kind of late game polish thing, or is that getting too much into neat but not worth really caring about?
I would say that's in the neat but not worth caring about, but we have added equally meaningless things in the past, so it really just depends how we feel.
Yeah, no, understandable. And I guess slightly more relevant to like how things work. Like my understanding is that for the tow missile on the Bradley, you have to have it at, like, it can't be leaning too far to the left or right. Like, you can't fire it from an incline. Is that considered to be a feature? Or does that also get into the issue? And I forget what it was in relation to, but like, communicating that to the player as a feature, not a bug.
So that is something that I do want to try to depict. The Bradley is in serious need of some nerfs right now. It reloads the tow too quickly and without taking the turret out of action like it should. It fires from an extreme cant when it shouldn't. There was something else too, but it just overall, the Bradley is way too strong. People are learning that the Bradley is like this god vehicle that can do everything all the time, and it really isn't. It's a big, tall, clunky thing that happens to fire a couple of toes on hand, and that's cool, but it has limits.
Are you telling me that the Bradley is not second to none?
It is second to none, but there's still some issues with it. So,
sus.
There are changes that need to be made, but most of them rely on features that are not in the code yet. So whenever we get around to doing a fire control system pass again, we'll be adding new things that could maybe support some Bradley nerfing for more realism. We'll see when that happens.
Do fire control passes just kind of come up from your perspective? Do they just kind of come up when we find that, like, oh, I got some new information, and the, like, okay, for example, the Bradley is not supposed to be this strong, or was the fire control system coded in such a way that we just went kind of like single pass for most features, and now we're adding piecemeal additional features?
So it's never a case of new information, or almost never. We pretty much have the research set up front. We know what we're talking about for the most part. Mm-hmm. The issue is, a lot of times the systems are old. They were made more or less in the early prototype stage, and they were not always designed with everything in mind that should have been. And then we realize over time, oh, it's going to be hard to put in this thing the way it's actually written. Like the T-72 and several other tanks that do gun detent position, like when they're reloading, they lock the gun at a certain elevation. That's almost possible in the current code, but not quite. So that's why it's not in. So that's another example. It's like a thing that should be in for realism. We know about it. We've known about it forever. But until we carve out time to rework the code and add that support, it's not going to happen.
Right, right. But you said the main thing was rework there. We don't just chuck FCS systems that we've made and just say, okay, now time to rewrite it from scratch. A lot of the time it's modified to be better.
It would be a bad... it's a very strong temptation, especially for newer developers, to completely throw away a system and redo it. That's almost always a bad choice, especially if you're already using the system for something. If it's in production and it needs to be changed, you gut it partially until it works. You don't throw it away. If I wanted to do a pass on the fire control system code and I did it the original way I was planning a couple years ago when I first started realizing it was needed, if I was like to completely throw it away and redo it, I would be spending 2 months on it and not getting anything other, technical stuff done. It would be a bad move. So instead we're doing piecemeal. Like, I think we just started working on turret inertia recently. That's a small thing. That's like a piece. There's going to be some other stuff here and there. And eventually one of those will be a gun detent position. It'll just show up one day. Hey, we finally did it. Nothing else broke because we did just that small little bit, and there we go. Iterative, incremental improvements.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that all sounds really cool. I like that you guys have, maintained that balance of what's realistic and what matters. I think it's, definitely kept scope creep from happening.
Oh, scope creep still happens, but we have each other to kind of rein ourselves in, so to speak.
We've achieved a kind of a balance. The debates that happen over whether something is worth adding are quite spirited at times. It's always a lot of fun.
Yep.
All right, well, appreciate it, and I will leave it to the next person. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Nico, how's it going?
Oh, man. This guy.
Oh no.
Go ahead.
No, it's a serious question for once. So you expanded a bit on the new system for CAS. And on the stream, you had the airplane drop it like perpendicular to the line of vehicles. It was dropping it. And I was wondering, so is it still the same system where they see a vehicle and they go, oh, this is the first vehicle I see, I'm going to kill it? And do you plan to make it so that, they go, oh, there is a vehicle here, there is a vehicle next to it, I'm going to drop my bombs, and maybe I can try to hit two of them, or something like that, I don't know.
So, it's kind of no to both. They don't just attack the first thing they see anymore. They take a moment. They actually fly in a little bit off axis now, and then they observe the area that you called them to. They tally up every target they can find, and then they pick. They look at the most important targets, like hard targets that they'd probably be called in to deal with, and then they prioritize by how close the target is to where they were called to. So, oh, that's probably the one you meant. So that part is a lot more nuanced now than it was. But once they've chosen their target, they don't try to line up a clever shot like, oh, I'll take out this line of tanks specifically. I know that seems like an obvious improvement to make, but the technical aspect of it, like trying to make it so that they can do the correct direction or whatever, it's just enough into the weeds code-wise that I don't feel like attempting it right now. I don't know if it'll ever be a thing or not. I'm pretty happy with how they behave right now, and I'm ready to move on to a new feature, so that's just kind of how it is.
I was mostly asking because on the new map, they tend to do that, but then it means that it's like luck-based, I guess?
Yeah, it's completely luck.
Okay, because, yeah, I was like, yeah, Cass is a bit OP on this map, because I had a game where they deleted, three of the four platoons that are supposed to attack you, and I just went, ah, they really improve Cass a lot.
Yeah, they can hit really hard if the targets are close together, or if they get lucky with the direction, for sure. It's extremely powerful. There is a plan to eventually make it so you can shoot them or shoot at them enough to get them to spook and leave, but that's not in yet. Someone said something about attack direction. I want to point out that we are planning an improved artillery interface as part of the map rework for fire support, and a likely feature of that is being able to choose the pattern of the artillery strike. So it's possible you'll be able to do your scouting, do your due diligence, and realize that there's an enemy platoon arranged in a certain line, and then call artillery on that line on your map. But that will require good scouting, good orientation, of the real space to the map, and then, being able to convert what you know into a good plan. And there will be certain tools available for plotting angles and such ranges, but it's possible that some vehicles will be better at it than others. You might not get anything besides just looking with your eyes and measuring your compass and then marking on the map, unless you're in a spotter vehicle, in which case you'll be able to ping it directly or something easier like that. We're still working on the details of that, but it seems likely that there will be some vehicles that have a stronger affinity with fire support than the average one.
Okay. Cool. That's way more than what I asked for.
Yeah, it was just a good segue into some things that I thought were worth mentioning.
What you asked led us into the leak. That's the leak for this month.
Well,
that should be the leak for this
month. It could be the leak. I think I've shown. Have I shown a fire a fire director or support whatever vehicle before?
No. That could be a good one.
I think I didn't because it wasn't textured yet and it looked too early to show. They exist though.
You can eat me into oblivion, by the way. See ya.
Wait, don't you want to offer like a final thought first? Okay, that's a good thought.
He turned into Jerry Lewis there.
I think that was an attempt at the Wilhelm scream. It was a pretty good one. I'm looking for a very specific teaser to show. I'm trying to remember if I saved it and where. I'm looking for the vehicles reversing in line with the...
Yes, that's a good one.
I think I can find it in the chat.
Go into the contractor chat, yeah.
It looks like I didn't save. So yeah, I'll go find it again. But, yeah, while I'm looking for that, yeah, scout vehicles are a thing that we're thinking about. We're thinking about them hard enough that there are models being made of some of them. Vehicles that are, like, lightly armed or unarmed, but have a different role that call in other stuff. No promises, just like anything else that's early, but we are planning to have gameplay besides point big gun at thing and blow it up.
Which is the only gameplay I'm good at.
It is good.
One day I'll teach you how to be better at it, but, you know.
Thank God for Discord search.
Shouldn't be that far up, honestly.
There's been a lot of talking.
If you go into her contractor specific one, I think you can find it.
No, she posted in the general.
Okay.
So the interesting thing, I found the roles one. I haven't found the reverse one yet.
Maybe I gotta help you out here.
I'm gonna look for another minute. I keep having to scroll past a bunch of shit that I posted about Cass.
And that's you're your own worst enemy, aren't you, Basuita?
Uh-huh. Is it in her chat instead? I thought it was in general. Oh, wait. Nope, that's the wrong one. Here we go. I think I might have found it. Yep, I found it. I need to actually...
I found it on the third page.
Yeah, it was farther back than I thought. I need to actually check which video is which.
Yeah, one is a problem and the other one is fixed. Oh, even the first one was pretty good.
Yeah, there's the finally the reversing, there's the ran into an issue, and then later on there's the rules one. I guess any of them would be good.
We'll cut this part down when people actually listen to the recording.
I mean, I never edit this stuff anyway, so they can.
You don't?
With it.
Oh my goodness!
There's never been anything worth editing.
Ah. Well, I guess that's fine.
Yep. Okay. Well, I'll post a teaser once I figure out which clip is which. For now, we are done with the Q&A. So, thanks everybody.
Oh, that's
for...
it.
Yeah, we're out of time.
Even though we started late?
We didn't start 10 minutes late.
I feel like we did.
No, it was like 5.
I guess that's fair.
Or something.
Okay. All right, sure. I'm good with that. Anyway.
My timestamp says that we're at 59 and a half minutes, so we're there.
Done. You win this round, measurement.
You win this round, hard statistics. Okay. Yep, thanks everyone for coming, and thank you for your support. It's very cool and lets us do a little extra stuff that we wouldn't have been able to otherwise, so always appreciated.
Yep, thanks for the feedback, and see you guys next month.
Adios.